The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello there, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Mick Norton today to look ahead to the best of Friday's action. Going to look at three races at Warwick in just a few moments. We're also going to just have a brief look at Willie Mullins' team for the Cheltenham Festival. A nice feature in the Racing Post today on that, so we'll brush over that before looking at the three races at Warwick. But as I mentioned, I'm Alex Dunn. And I'm joined by the one and only Mick Norton.
Yes, good afternoon, Alex. Good afternoon, everybody.
Firstly, how's things, Mick? How are you?
Yes, ticking over. Still suffering from the dreaded second-itis. In fact, I'm pulling up stumps until the festival now. I've just decided to not fight it any longer. Give in to it and let it dissipate in its own good time.
And it will.
It will. Of course it will. Yeah.
And of course Cheltenham getting ever closer now.
Absolutely.
How many days are we? Is it 19 days?
Is that all it is?
It is 19 days. Yep.
Goodness me.
So
once you get into February, it just creeps up on you, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I'm getting rather excited now, I think it's fair to say, Mick.
Yes.
Can't wait to for that first day. Get me play spots on early. But no, should be good. Very much looking forward to that. And as I mentioned, Willie Mullins is someone who generally does pretty well at Cheltenham, if you haven't noticed.
Well, he's going to have the first three favourites, isn't he, for a start, with Vartour, Champagne Fever and Hurricane Fly by the look of, well, as we speak, they're currently favourites, aren't they? So, yes.
We've got a few stats here plucked from the Racing Post.
Yeah.
He's the third most successful current trainer at the festival.
Okay.
Mullins and Walsh teaming up have had 14 wins from 72 runs. That would have made you £7.26 for every pound you put on.
Okay.
Leading trainer twice in the last 3 years.
Okay.
You'd have made £3 if you backed every runner from 2000 onwards. And here's one for you, Mick.
Yeah.
Euro's first winner. Without looking at the paper, Mick.
Well, I'm not looking at the paper.
First winner at Cheltenham.
As a trainer?
Yeah, in the Supreme Novices Hurdle.
Back in the day, wasn't it? Paddy packed up about not long after Dawn Run. I would say mid-80s.
Oh, no. It was actually Tourist Attraction in 95. First Cheltenham winner.
Was it really?
Yeah. So there you go. But he does dominate the festival for obvious reasons. And just looking through some of his horses here, he's got a nice little piece on each of them. I mean, you could just go through them and you wouldn't be surprised if any of them won. I mean, Annie Power, Bally Casey, Briar Hill, Champagne Fever's in there, Foggine, Quavega, Hurricane Fly, Undersow, Vautour. I mean, he's just got such a huge team, but a huge team that is so full of quality.
Absolutely.
I mean, it speaks volumes the fact that there's a lot of these horses that we still don't know what race they're going to run in because he's got so many that could clash.
And it's typically, it's sort of Willie's, that's his forte, drives his secretary mad with his with his late changes of mind, etc. But, I'm sure he'll sort it out on the day, but that does make your anti-post punting a bit dodgy, doesn't it?
It does. If I was to ask you, Mick, what you think, if I had to give you a Mullins nap, if you like, for the festival, where would your money lie?
Well, everyone seems to think that Vautour is the best of his for the Supreme, but I love Wicklow Brave. I just look like the way he goes about his business. And I think they were very surprised with what he's done on the heavy ground through the winter months, because they were thinking of him as a good ground horse. So when he gets his good ground, which hopefully he will at the festival, probably the best ground he'll have raced on all his career,
could bring about if a bit, you like, bit of
I think there could be, I think there could be more to come, and he'll be my he'll be my banker in the opener.
Oh really? Okay. So Wicklow Brave in the Supreme Novices Hurdle. Let's just look at the price. We've currently got 11 to 4 for Votor, 7 to 1 Irving, and then 10's Wicklow Brave.
See, this is a school of thought. I might be completely off the wall here, mm-hmm. but I just think Ruby sacks these other jockeys in Ireland out, makes this horse look better than they are. They never get tested. Ruby's allowed to set his own fractions, which he did on Votor.
Yeah.
And the Tullo Tank, just let him go his own pace. He won't be able to do that in a championship race at the festival.
No.
And it just might be that Ruby's making them look better than he is with his brilliance, and the other jockey's reluctance to go and question that brilliance. Mm. Whereas Wicklow Brave are different. He travels in behind, doesn't he, and comes and picks them off.
Which, in some races at Cheltenham, will certainly suit, because there'll be a lot of pace on.
Yeah, so you know that, you know, he's winning on merit, whereas some of the others, I think Ruby's stealing them because of the other jockeys' negativities.
Yeah.
That's my way of looking at it. It might be completely looking at it upside down, but
certainly
I do think he psychs them out, those Irish jockeys in particular.
Yeah, he does. 11 to 4 Votor, 7 to 1 Irving, 10's Wicklow Brave, 12 to 1 for
Massive
First Mohican,
price, Wicklow Brave.
Joss's Hill.
And it wouldn't worry me if Ruby rode the other one on Townend Road, Wicklow Brave, not a jot.
No. Perfectly good jockey, Paul. Mm. Very good. 12 for First Mohican, Joss's Hill, the Tullo Tank, 16's or bigger the rest. So Wicklow Brave, 10 to 1, certainly smacks of each way value, if
yeah.
nothing else, doesn't
and
it?
And the other Willie Mullins horse, I probably didn't even get a mention in that piece. I haven't even found him yet. It's Sun Tea up in the 4 mile, a good solid sound jumper will appreciate the trip. Patrick will ride, and he's going to be a big prize as well.
And in those races as well, it's important to have a very capable jockey on.
Absolutely, who knows his way around Cheltenham, and Patrick does. You know, all the obvious shorty ones are going to get off a bit like mad, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I'm just looking a little bit outside the box, trying to get a bit of value out of the Mullins team, and it doesn't necessarily mean that Ruby's going to be on the ones that I shall back.
No.
Because it wouldn't surprise me at all if Paul rode Wicklow Brave, and we know Patrick will ride Sun Tiep.
Yeah. Okay, lovely stuff. We'll move on to some of to Friday's action then. We're going to go to Warwick, where Willie Mullins has sent a few in recent weeks.
He has,
Glenn's
hasn't he?
Melodies has won there just a few weeks ago. No runners there on Friday. But we'll start with the 240, a conditionals handicap hurdle, hands and heels race.
Yes,
2 miles the trip, 15 runners got to post.
Yeah, it's a little better than a seller in reality, but it's an interesting race nevertheless. And pity we haven't got one more declared. It would have been an absolutely stonking four-place each way bet race. But anyway, not to worry. We can't do much about that. And I'll just go flick through them as I've come to them in race card order. The top one's Tribal Dance, who's probably going to be quite popular for this. Comes here in fairly good form. Hasn't been seen for 94 days, but was a beaten favourite at the town before that. But in reality, Tribal Dance is £15 higher than his last win, and his rider, Kerran McKee, is unable to claim in this. So that 11 stone 12 is going to just feel like it...
Could prove a little telling.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we come down to my selection, Walter de la Mer, trained by Annabelle King. Joanna Mason is going to take the ride. Now, this horse ran a really good third at Doncaster last time in a similar event to this. It was the conditionals. It wasn't for the amateurs, but it was a conditionals jockey's race. A good third at Walter de la Mer. It's £4 higher than its last winning mark, but I just think this will take no winning. And Joanna is a very good rider. She knows Walter de la Mer. She's ridden him a couple of times on the flat, so she knows him. But we know she's a very capable National Hunt rider as well. We've seen her around the cross-country course around Cheltenham, and she rides point-to-point, 3 or 4 point-to-point winners a week, Alex. So absolutely no qualms about Joanna's ability, and I think it's a plus that she knows Walter de la Mer from the... from riding him a couple of times on the level. And the other one to consider is Pagan Bell, Nigel Hawke trains. Kieran Edgar, good jockey book in the context of this. I know you can't claim Kieran, but he's a very good rider. And finished second at Southwell behind Whispering Harry in a similar contest to this handicap hurdle at Southwell last time. Significantly, probably, she's been well back the last three. She's still a maiden, 0 from 11, but she has definitely got a race in her off of this handicap mark. And I think that good conditional booking of Kieran Edgar will be a big plus in a race like this. Hard to see Pagan Bell. It was her who I had in mind when I was wishing we'd got the 16 for the four places to aim at. Sure to be on the premises, but I'm going to stay with Walter Delamere.
Okay, Walter Delamere, the pick there in the 240. In those kind of races, though, I mean, we spoke about having a capable jockey around Cheltenham. There's a lot of inexperienced jockeys in this race, and the likes of, as you mentioned, Kieran Edgar, Kieran McKee, Ryan Hatch, of course, man of the moment.
Absolutely.
Having them on your side in a race like this can just prove invaluable, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, especially in these races with the mix of the amateurs and the conditionals as well, you've got to have a good rider on your side. It's imperative.
Definitely. Okay, we'll move on to the 310. Novices Handicap Chase.
Cracking race, this.
It really is. Three miles, an extended 3 miles of the trip, a class four event with 10 runners down to go to post. Some really consistent types here. Where should we start?
Well, again, I'll go through the shortlist in race card order. Number three is No Duffer, who was trained by Henry Daly, Andrew Tinkler taking the ride. Improved markedly on his chasing debut when he pulled up to finish a 4 3/4 lengths, third of six, behind Bobcat Billy at Haydock. And any improvement from that run off of the same mark sees him in the mix. He was just an okay hurdler. Looks as though, on the Haydock evidence, he's going to make a better chaser. Mighty Mob even, is trained by Philip Hobson, trained by Dickie Johnson. Now, this is an interesting runner. He's had two runs back after a really long absence, 251 days. His chasing debut, and then he went to Wetherby, where he jumped poorly that day. But, remarkably, he was still in with a chance at the last, even though he hadn't hardly jumped a fence. Now, he's going to have to brush up his jumping round here, but they have put the pieces on for the first time. Maybe they think he's just lacking a bit of concentration. So I would expect a better run from him. The selection, though, is going to be Water Wagtail, who finished second behind Bywise. That was on his chasing debut, and Robert Thornton was in the saddle for the first time on that chasing debut. Now, the reason being is that the horse who beat him, Bywise, came out and won next time by 9 lengths and is now rated 134. Water Wagtail is in this off 106. Slight Rider, the Emma Lavelle team, just a bit quiet at the moment. Not many runners in the last few racing weeks. Couple have hit the frame, no winners, but that form line's too strong for me to ignore, and I can't ignore the form book claims of Water Wagtail. So I'm hoping that he's going to turn the corner for Emma Lavelle. The other one to consider is Basford Ben. This might be an each-way angle here with 10 runners declared. He might be able to make his experience tell against some quite lightly chasing experienced horses here, whereas he's having his 11th chase start, Basford Ben. No great shakes, but he will jump round, and if anything happens on the way round to the others, well, he could pick up the pieces. I would say more place maybe on the pro market than win purposes, but he is of interest. But Water Wagtail is a very solid form choice.
Okay, then Water Wagtail, the pick in the 310. The final race that we'll look at is the 440 handicap chase over 3 miles and 5 furlongs. Will really take some getting. Class 3 event with 9 runners down to the post. We'll start with one here, Mick. A horse I actually napped last time, Venetia Williams Union Jack DC.
Didn't get any further than the 9th, did he?
And didn't jump very well at all. Was never really going, which is interesting because I thought, having won at Warwick, so has course form, won at Warwick and then went to Catterick, and they're not too dissimilar in terms of the course, if you like, but really couldn't get into any kind of rhythm, and it was no surprise to see.
No, it was only a matter of when
it was. So
wasn't it?
Would you be willing to give that a chance? Or
I've put him on the shortlist because of his Warwick form, and I do like Warwick form, as you'll see with my my trio. I've gone for in this. He's definitely one of the monitors at Warwick form, as you say. Very disappointing length of time. Just wonder if what was the distance between the races, Alex? Can you remember it?
I'll have a look one moment. We had the 23rd of January was the Warwick win, 10th of February the Catterick unseat. So
might have been quick enough, you know, because
maybe
Warwick it's never easy around Warwick, is it?
Also, we've got the going at Warwick on the day of his victory was soft. And it was heavy at Catterick. I mean, we're back to, what's the forecast here? Soft, good, soft in places. Might have just been he could have maybe just got a little stuck in the ground with his jumping.
Could have done. You know. I would just think maybe he had a harder race at Warwick than it first looked.
Also, only a six-year-old.
And he's feeling the effects of that.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have much of a race the time before when he pulled up, did he? So
no.
He could have just been feeling the effects of it. Mm-hmm. I can't rule him out because of his Warwick form. Closely matched with Bally Sands on that Warwick win. In fact, Bally Sands is now £3 better off for 2.5 lengths. Bally Sands, two of his best performances have come here at Warwick, including that last time when second of nine in that Union Jack DC race. So another one with course form claimed. But I'm going to just take a bit of a flyer here on Trigger the Light, who hasn't been seen for 348 days, but he's got a good record here at Warwick as Trigger the Light. Stays forever, course and distance winner here. He's won off of an absence before, a lengthy absence before, so that's not going to be a disadvantage. Alan King's horses seem in sparkling form at the moment, don't they? And although he's technically £10 higher than his last win, he has performed well off this mark in his slightly younger days, and he can never be ruled out here at his beloved Warwick. So maybe he'll get neglected in the betting and be allowed to go off 6-7-1, I don't know. But with his record here at Warwick and his proven ability to go fresh after a break, when the King horse is seemingly in very good form, I'm going to take a chance and Trigger the Light.
Okay, Trigger the Light in the 440, I should say, to hopefully complete a Robert Fulton double.
Good little card at each of those races we spoke about. You know, they've all got their degrees of difficulty and interest,
but all got pretty nice sort of nice betting races, if you like.
Absolutely,
finding a bit of each way value. Certainly. Yeah. So, okay, can you just run us through your three picks at Warwick?
Yeah, the 240, the Hands and Heels Conditional and Amateurs race. Walter de la Mer with Joanna Mason on board, trained by Annabelle King. In the 310, it's a novice handicap chase. Water Wagtail's form behind Barwise is too good to ignore. That winner now rated 134. Water Wagtail can race here off 106. And interesting that Robert Thornton, who rode him on his chasing debut behind Barwise, keeps the ride. And in our final race of the trio, the 440 at Warwick, a 3-mile-5 handicap chase for the staying chasers. And Trigger the Light, who has a wonderful profile at Warwick, coming back after a long absence, that's no problem to him to be another winner for the Inform Alan King.
We'll take some getting that one, but thank you, Mick.
My pleasure,
we've
Alex.
Got Sean Quinn, Andy Holding and Darren Owen in the studio on Friday.
Good
so
team.
It
Good
is
team.
Indeed so join them for all the action from Warwick, and thank you very much, Mick Norton.
My pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.